Our subject today is, what do you fear? What are you afraid of? And I can't think of any better person to talk to us on that subject than Jan Sylvius. Jan Sylvius is not only a dear, lifelong friend of mine, or almost lifelong, since I got saved, lifelong, and since she got saved, but she is also the author of numerous books that have greatly impacted people's lives. And two of those books I'm going to mention. One is Foolproofing Your Life, that has a lot to do with fear and relationships, and then look at it this way. And so what we're going to do today on the program is we're going to look at this subject of fear. We're going to talk to some people about what they fear the most, and then we're going to talk to one another. And you're going to get a glimpse of us with our Bibles on our laps, because God has the answer to fear. So you and I are going to come away, dear one, with an understanding of where fear comes and what we are to do when we are afraid. That's Jan Sylvius, and of course you know me, that's Kay Arthur, and we're going to look at God's precepts for life, because through His precepts, you get understanding, and then you hate every false way, and you also know how to handle fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind.
Your greatest fear in life?
Probably my greatest fear in life would be for something to happen to me on my job and to leave my family and my kids grow up without a dad.
I say probably one of my greatest fears is disappointing my family, disappointing my parents.
My greatest fear is probably not that my children would grow up and not love me.
Maybe to lose my father and my mother, maybe. I don't know what I would do without them.
Some death of me or anyone close to me.
Probably something's happened to my grandkids.
I would probably say my greatest fear now would be, you know, some type of health problem, sudden death, and not be able to live a long life. That's the thing I worry about the most.
I guess my greatest fear would be if something happened to my son or to my wife or something like that.
Death. I'm afraid of death because it can happen in a split second. It can happen on the way home from school one day. You never know. And it's always important to go back to the love that you have to tell people that you love them.
Well, you've heard it. People have fears. As a matter of fact, we all have fears. And yet, there is a fear that overcomes the natural fear. And this is what we're going to talk about today. As I introduce Jan Sylvius, I want you to know that this gal has worked as a counselor. And Jan, in your counseling experience, you've probably dealt with a lot of people that deal with all sorts of fear.
Sure. Fear is a basic issue that every human deals with. And many times when those fears are out of control, that's why they come and talk to a counselor, because they want to know what to deal with, because fear causes a physical response in our bodies. And because, it's a terrible response. Mm-hmm. And there are things released in our hormones, released in our body, that cause our bodies to respond a certain way. And so fear takes over. So I would say that fear is a huge issue that we all need to be aware of and know how to deal with.
You know, I remember, and you remember, when my daddy was in the hospital and he was hovering between life and death, and I thought that God told me he was going to live, and he was just 68 years old. When I got the call from the hospital that his heart had stopped and that they were working with him and that we better get over there, I remember the first thing I did was hit the floor. And I hit the floor and I was crying out to God, but my body was doing things I didn't want it to do. I could get my brain under control, but my body, my heart was going so rapidly, and I thought, God, well, you know, I can't get my body under control. And it's those hormones, those things that are secreted in your flesh that are hard to handle.
They are hard to handle, and you know, when it hits, it's like, what am I going to do? And yet God has given us a way to even control that. And I think that is something that's very important to know and understand, that we have everything we need to even control that release of hormones on an ongoing basis. Now, we'll get hit with it immediately, mm-hmm. but then after that, we can begin to rehearse the truth. And the part of our brain that is that processes wisdom, processes the Word of God, that processes everything that is true, has an amazing ability to say to that other part of our brain that is kicking in all those hormones, calm down, it's going to be okay, God is in control. And there's an art to that. There's also science to it, and it's all right here in the Word of God.
Isn't it neat? And if you don't have the Word of God, beloved, then you really don't have the ability to handle that fear beyond the natural. I mean, you can tell your mind to do certain things, but you can only go so far. I think, Jan, about 2 Timothy chapter 1, when he says, Paul's writing to Timothy, his son in the Lord. Paul knows he's going to die. He knows it's his final letter to his son, and he tells his son, now, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us power. He's given us love, and this is where what you said comes in. He's given us a sound mind. And that word sound mind means a mind under control. And from there, then I think about Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. And I want to put those two together for you. And then as I put those two together, then we can talk about it a little bit more. But in Psalm 56, in verses 3 and 4, and one of the things that's good is to go through and mark in a certain way every reference to fear or to being afraid. And then you can take all those scriptures and put them together. But he says in verse 2, my foes have trampled upon me all day long. Now, that's enough to cause you fear. And it says, for they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. Now, when you go back to the beginning of a psalm, many times it tells you at the beginning of that psalm what the occasion was. And so this is a psalm of David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And the Philistines were the arch enemies of Israel at that time. And they had seized him. And so he says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. This is what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. And I love what he says, in God, whose word I praise, because there is a new science, and I'm so excited about it because it just proves what God has said all along.
Yeah.
You know, ancient,
love it.
Yeah, ancient truths, and the scientists are going, wow. But what I love about it is that they have discovered that within the brain, fear and gratitude or praise mm-hmm. cannot exist at the same time. The brain cannot go down both of those paths at the same time. And so what they are encouraging people to do is develop gratitude. Because with gratitude, and for the believer, it's gratitude for God, to God. Mm-hmm. For all that he is. And I think of all the things God says through scripture, you know, in everything give thanks.
Thanks.
For this is the will of God
concerning
you.
You. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like, why would he say that? Well, now we know,
mm-hmm.
because we have seen it scientifically,
mm-hmm.
it's because it's good for us and it quiets our brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because our brain, if it is hit with fear, will release these hormones that will cause our bodies to react and will cause us to be heaps. And when we say, oh, I just can't stand it. I'm just scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of that comes from those hormones make you feel like you're dying. I mean, when adrenaline hits you, your heart races and you feel like you're
dying.
That's
what happened to me.
Yeah. Well, and
I had to bring it under control.
Well, the night my daddy died, I remember that. It was just mm-hmm. that it just hits your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, what is happening to my body?
Mm-hmm.
And you think you can't control it. But ultimately, you can, and that's a gift from God that I think many times we pass by thinking, oh, but I'm just afraid-y nature.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just a fearful person. Well, everybody's a fearful person,
mm-hmm.
but because part of our brain, the earliest part of our brain that ever developed is fight and flight. That's our brain stem, and that's like the part of our brain that's like a fish. You know, you scare
mm-hmm.
a fish, they fly. Oh, no, they don't fly. They swim.
They swim.
You scare a bird, they fly. But it's that animal instinct that is within us. It's like, ah. And yet, the other part of our brain that is the more advanced part that makes us human says, calm down, it's all right. Mm-hmm. And we have to operate out of that. And as we rehearse God's word, it's amazing what time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. The minute you're afraid, God, I trust you. I thank you that you're trustworthy. I thank you that you're God. And your body actually reacts to that. I think that is so cool.
It is so cool. You know, it says, I want to finish that verse. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? So it takes it out of the realm of the natural, moves it into the realm of the supernatural. And then when I am afraid and I put my trust in thee, when I am afraid and in everything I give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me, or I count it all joy when I fall into diverse trials, or I know that God has not given me the spirit of fear. He's given me power, and he's promised me his power. His grace is sufficient. His power is perfected in my weakness. And then he has given me power. He's given me love. I have that security of the fact that he loves me and he promises me that all things work together for good.
And that perfect love.
Yeah, casts out fear. Perfect, because fear has torment.
Exactly.
It has torment. And so then I know that I have a sound mind. So that sound mind is really a mind under God's control, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, precious one. And then when you do that, then the hormones, in a sense, reverse and everything calms down because you've done what God says for you to do. I think, Jan, that it is so neat that we find science catching up with the Word of God that seems to human natural man so illogical.
Exactly.
Why would you stop and give thanks? Why would you count it all joy? Because it's idiotic to do that. But it's not idiotic. It is for your own
good. For you.
Oh, precious one, I am so excited about you and me and Jan discussing these things so that when you're afraid, you can put your trust in him. We'll be right back.
On the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Wants to be happy. It's an innate desire in every human being to seek happiness. And yet what we have is we have fear that counteracts happiness. And as Jan Sylvius, the author of Foolproofing Your Life and Look at It This Way and many other great books, Jan Sylvius, who's had many years of experience as a counselor and who is so relational, was sharing with us what is happening in the field of research on fear versus happiness. Just recap that a little bit so that it goes deeper into our mind, because it supports what the Word of God, we don't need support
we don't need the Word of God,
but it just shows you God knows what he's talking about. God, boy, does God know what he's talking
about. Doesn't he? And when you get the support, it's like, wow.
Right.
This is so interesting.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we have not been given a spirit of fear by God, but we have innately within us, in our brain, the brainstem, the first thing to be developed is basically a fight or flight part of our brain. And so we all have a fear response. It's like why a baby is startled when you clap his hand. It's like he jumps.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fear response.
I do too.
Well, eventually we know that's a clap.
Too.
Yeah. But what we have to understand is then there are hormones released in our bodies. And it causes us to have a physical response. But God has been so gracious to give to us not a spirit of fear that would just compound that problem of our brain, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. And those are the things that we can use as human beings to counteract fear. And what I love about it is when he says power, I think if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that tells me I am not helpless. And helplessness breeds fear. If I feel helpless, it breeds fear. There was an interesting experiment that was done with dogs. And they found out they would put dogs on one side of a cage and on the other side of the cage, and they had one dogs on this side could escape when they were given electric shock. These dogs could not escape. And so they gave up trying. But even in the ones who gave up trying, when the door was opened, there were they didn't even go through the door because they absolutely the
immobilized by fear.
They were totally immobilized by fear, and yet nothing changed. They still kept getting shocked. But even when there was a way of escape, they didn't take it. And I think that God has given us ways of escape, and yet many of us stay locked into fear because we don't trust Him.
Right.
And yet he says, trust me. And as we trust him and praise him, it's amazing how we find ways of escape that are there. And I love that.
I do too. And I love the fact that we are not powerless.
No.
And that we are not a victim of Mother Nature. We are not a victim of the devil. God is sovereign. He rules over all. So when I'm afraid, I'm going to put my trust in him. Now, when he wrote the epistle to the church at Ephesus, and Ephesus was a city that was filled with fear. And it was filled with fear because of the idolatry. It was filled with fear because if you read Acts and connection, and when Paul went to Ephesus, you know that there was a lot of black magic. There was a lot of occult. The evil spirits turned around and leaped on some man and tore his clothes off of him. I mean,
that's scary.
I mean, that is a scary thing.
Yeah.
And they were trying to adjure these evil spirits in the name of Jesus or Paul, and he says, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Paul, I know, and that, but who are you? Who are you? Well, what he tells them in Ephesians is in two prayers, in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, he says, I want you to know the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. As a man, when I link into God, when I believe in Jesus Christ, when I receive him as my Savior, the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 1 verse 14, takes up residence inside of me. I am indwelt by God. According to John, the Father abides in me, the Son abides in me, the Holy Spirit abides in me. And when they come in, they bring the power of the divine Godhead. So he says, I want you to know what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards those who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought
brought about in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him in heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that's named in heaven and earth. In other words, you do not have to be afraid of anyone else. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, he's praying that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ might dwell in you, so that you would be rooted and grounded in love. I mean, it's all right there.
It's all right there. And you know, when you say we don't have to be afraid of any man or any woman, any human that would come against us, what we need to recognize that God has empowered us through his word to know how to deal with that kind of individual, and to know that it's Christ's purpose in us not to be helpless in the under that person's domination. And I think that's something that we don't talk about a lot, that we have strength and we have the ability to be courageous even when we're dealing with someone who is evil, someone who is foolish, someone who wants to dominate us. We don't have to be dominated, because it's a gift from God. We don't have to be helpless.
Yeah, and he says that the fear of man brings a snare. I can't fear man and fear God.
What they think about me?
Yes.
What they say to me? What they even want to do to me? If I fear them, then that will stop me from going forward. And that's in every situation. And so to recognize that it does bring a snare and it stops us. And I have seen that happen so many times as I've counseled with people. They sit helplessly waiting for somebody to fix it.
Yeah.
And God's already given them everything they need for life and godliness, to do what needs to be done, but it's a matter of believing it.
And sometimes they're sitting there waiting not for someone to fix it, but someone just to overwhelm them.
Yes.
When so they become the victim, you know.
Well, they're already overwhelmed.
Yeah, and they're already overwhelmed, and they just think, oh, it's not going to get better.
They think it's the way it is, always.
Yeah, that's the way it is, and there's no hope, and he's the God of all hope. Oh, precious one, listen carefully. I want to take you back to Psalm 56. It says in Psalm 56, and I read you verse 3 and 4. Now it says in verse 10, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God will I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? So what is your precept? What do you need to remember? You need to remember, first of all, that God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you power. You got it? Power. Inherent power. He has given you love. He loves you with an everlasting love. And you just need to get to know and understand that love. He has given you a sound mind. That means a mind under control. So when you're afraid, put your trust in him, who's God and whose name I praise. Praise instead of fear.
KArthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
What would you say is your greatest fear? my kid's not succeeding in life.
My greatest fear is not accomplishing the goal that I am headed for right now.
Loneliness.
I guess losing my children. I guess that's be the ultimate fear.
Well, you got more of a fear of everything around you. You never know what your surroundings going to oppose. And I think you have to be more aware of everything. You never know.
My greatest fear? I guess terrorism. The unpredictability of it, not knowing where it's going to come from or when.
Greatest fear. Not knowing myself.
Fear. It's paralyzing. It's damaging. It not only damages you emotionally, but beloved, it can damage you physically. You've got to know how to handle fear. And so I want to make sure that as we wrap up today, as we look at God's precepts for life, you know exactly what you are to do when you are afraid. So Jan, I want us to give them a precept for life, a standard, a plumb bob that they can hold on to so that they can know what to do when they're afraid. So give them a precept for life on fear.
I would love to give a precept on fear. And you know, if you can just think that fear is not from God, and if it's not from God, then he must have given us something else. And what he has given us is power, love, and a sound mind, and the ability to trust him. He even gives us that ability as we choose it. He enables us to do that. And I think of the man at the Pool of Bethesda when Jesus came along. That man had been there 38 years, and he had been in his infirmity. And you know he had fears, and his greatest fear was he wasn't going to get well, and nobody was going to help him, and he was going to have to live like that, and yet he had settled for living like that. Then Jesus came along, and when he came along, he asked him a question. And he says, do you want to get well? And the man wanted to give him every reason in the world why he was still sitting at the pool. Well, there's nobody here to help me. Learned helplessness, I might add.
And he learned helplessness
because for 38 years there had been nobody there to help him. And he started that whine. And what I love was Jesus never commented on it. He just simply turned to him and he said, arise, take up your bed, and walk. And if you're going to confront fear, one of the takeaway values that I would really encourage today is do something about it. Don't let fear inundate you. It is not a gift from God. It is something that will stop you and will keep you from doing anything that God ever wanted you to do. And he has given you everything you need to do to get up and move. Movement is part of dealing with fear. Staying in the same place, doing the same things, and thinking that that is going to change things will only compound the fear, cause the hormones to hit your body, and cause you to really, really be sick.
I mean, really be sick. Beloved, I'm so with her, so with her. And I want to give you Hebrews. And this is what he says. He says, he has said to us, I will never leave you, nor never forsake you. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Those are your precepts for life. Now live by them.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. Or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.